Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
A new study by the ESRI has found that people under the age of 24 are in favour of a ban on domestic flights and also car-free zones in towns and in cities. The data also found that over 90% of people in that age group are concerned about the environment. Pete Lunn is the head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit and he's on the line now. Pete, thank you for joining us. People listening probably won't be surprised to hear that young people are very concerned about the environment, but are you surprised at the scale of the positive responses to positive action?
Good morning, Claire. I think it's an interesting one, actually. As a group of researchers, we've kind of debated quite how surprising we find these findings. And I think on balance, we probably do. So find them surprising, that is. So, I mean, clearly the level of environmental concern among young people is not a huge surprise. You really would have to have your ears completely closed not to have a degree of concern, I think. And as you say, we do find over 90% are clearly concerned. I think what's really interesting about this study, and there's a few things, but particularly interesting to us is the degree to which young people are prepared to support quite radical policies that would clearly impact their future lives. You know, so as you say, banning domestic flights, car zones in towns and cities, centres. They're very much in favour of taxing things that pollute as well. I mean, including many of them saying that, you know, they'd accept a tax on meat and higher fuel taxes. And, you know, a majority saying that, you know, that they either want to eat less meat in the future or, you know, 30% saying that actually they want to eat a plant-based diet in the long term. Now, of course, these are intentions, not behaviours, but nevertheless, I mean, it signals a desire for more radical change than we might have anticipated, mm-hmm. I think.
Just, you mentioned eating a plant-based diet, and I see from the data that people are underestimating the impact of doing that and perhaps overestimating behaviours like recycling and not littering. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's an important finding. We had a knowledge test as part of this study, where essentially what we did was we gave a list of activities to this group of young people. So this is 16 to 24 year old. It's a nationally representative sample. And we gave them a list of activities and we said, look, can you categorize these activities into those that have a high impact, a medium impact, and a low impact on emissions? So to give you an example, you know, taking one less long haul flight a year, that's a high impact behavior. Avoiding littering, you know, good thing for us all to do, but it's a low impact behavior. So could they categorize into high, medium and low? Now, it's not much of an exaggeration to say that if we'd rolled a dice, we'd have got similar answers. In other words, the level of knowledge about what causes emissions, behaviors that causes emissions among this group of young people, representative national sample, was really pretty poor. So they don't know what are the high impact behaviors versus the low impact behaviors. Now, I should stress, we've done this with an adult sample previously and got fairly similar findings. But we were quite surprised by this because we thought the young sample would do better than the adult sample. And actually, they haven't. So there's a real knowledge gap there.
So does that tell us then that awareness of environmental concerns is high, but education, in-depth education as to mitigation measures, that is not getting through?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. And I think there's some truth in that, you know, that it tells us that our education and communication is not getting across which behaviors are high impact. That's definitely clear. But I think what it's also telling us is that this problem is really, really complex. You know, the number of things you could change in your life as a result of climate, so how you travel, how you heat your homes, what you eat, what your lifestyle is, you know, how you spend your holidays. There is so much in there that to expect people to really to be able to navigate this and see their way through. And we find this with the older adult sample too. You know, it would ultimately be fanciful, which means that you cannot leave this policy problem up to individual choice. You know, it is going to have to be done through a combination of traditional measures and incentives like taxes and regulations. Sure, education and communication are vitally important, but leaving it to that alone is not going to work because the problem you're dealing with is clearly too complex for us to get across to the population at large behaviors that are really going to make the biggest impact.
So the only way to genuinely get people's attention is to tax the behaviors that we want to reduce.
Well, certainly we found in our research previously and here that there's strong support for the idea that polluter pays. So there is strong support for taxes and penalties for people that cause the most emissions. And I think that's particularly true among this young sample here. So, yeah, I think that in many ways for us is the most radical thing to come out of this, is that, you know, young people are essentially saying, now, sure, they don't pay all the bills yet. They're going to pay more as they get older. They've got clear financial challenges to face. But that they are willing to see quite radical policies that would go in that direction is very interesting to us. Yeah.
Just one of the measures that the young people were in favour of, the car-free zones in towns. And you can understand that, because if you are under the age of 24, you wouldn't even think about needing to walk around town. If you're older, that's probably not going to be as attractive to you.
Yeah, although again, I'd say the strength of support for this is kind of interesting. So I mean, we're seeing among this sample of young people, 57% in favour of car-free zones and just 28% against. Now, my experience of being that age is, you know, wanting to get a car and wanting to drive was quite a kind of exciting future prospect. And what we get from this generation is not that. I mean, many of them are going to be happy to live car-free. They really want to see these car-free zones in city centres by quite a large majority there. So that to us really does look like a change. Now, of course, you might say, well, look, it impacts them less than older people who already own cars, but it does really signal a change of intent, I think, compared to previous cohorts. And that's why we would find it interesting. There's also other research that's very interesting on the car-free issue, full stop, and it goes like this. What we find is that people are often opposed to greater pedestrianisation until after it happens. So in many places around the world where it's happened and people see the positive impact that it has on towns and cities to get cars out of them, they become more supportive. But before the change, they tend to be quite conservative and quite worried about it. So the evidence suggests that actually people's opinions really change when they see the impact that it has. But among these young people, they want it anyway.
Yeah, it's getting to that point when you can make the change while people are opposed to it before it happens. That can be quite complicated. You asked as well, or this research asked, Pete, how much time these young people spent outdoors. What did you learn from those answers?
So that's very interesting. I mean, we find three quarters of young people are spending time in local outdoor amenities, by which I mean parks and woods and forests and this kind of stuff. They're doing that regularly. And the really interesting finding there is that the young people who do spend time out in nature and do go to their local amenities, they are more pro-environmental. So if we look at these attitudes and behaviours actually that we're measuring here, you find that spending time in nature is one of the best predictors in this study of being in favour of more radical climate action. So time in nature seems to be important, yeah.
And do they have the time to spend time in nature?
The younger ones more than the older ones. So we can even see a difference between the 16 to 20 year olds and the 20 to 24 year olds. So once the 20 to 24 year olds are getting into workplaces and into college degrees and so on, you know, often living in urban areas to do this, they find that time is a more limiting factor. So, you know, trying to make sure that people have access to green spaces and that people can get to those green spaces seems actually to foster a more pro-environmental attitude.
And a lot of this group use public transport. 63%, they say, using public transport instead of travelling by car is one of the most impactful pro-environmental behaviours. 51% of them primarily travel using public transport, but cycling throws up an interesting issue whereby there are more males cycling than there are females.
That's correct. So we see quite a big difference there. And I think it's pretty clear from a lot of research that's been done, including some work we've done, that the primary problem there is safety. If we build cycle lanes that are properly segregated and are safe, then what you find is that women are more willing to cycle. Men are clearly more willing to take that risk on the roads where the cycle lanes are not well segregated. We can see that in international data. We can see that in our own data. So the primary issue there is not willingness to cycle instead of, say, take a car or take the bus or whatever. Women are willing to cycle. The problem is that they see the roads as less safe and they're not willing to take the risk that the men are willing to take. I mean, in fact, interestingly, overall, we find somewhat more pro-environmental attitudes among women than men, though I would stress that the individual differences in our study are not very strong. I mean, we don't find a large urban-rural divide in this study at all. We find that environmental concern is strong among young people in urban areas as well as in rural areas as well as urban areas. It's strong in men and women, but a bit stronger among the women.
Pete, thank you very much for talking to us. Pete Lunn there from the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.